couple folks to reach out to and pray for in these next days. Bill Swope's mom has been sick for quite a while. She's been in her 90s and passed away last night. So pray for Bill and Janice, and you can visit the family at the Jefferson Memorial Funeral Home on tomorrow, 2 to 4 and 7 to 9, and their funeral time will be on Tuesday. Also, Bob Niedermeyer, I believe we've got this message through the Sunday school class. Bob Niedermeyer's dad passed on also recently. So be in prayer for Bob and Connie and their family. And Terry Steck's mom passed this past week. Pray for Terry and Louise as they need God's care and encouragement. The prayer time this afternoon at the Irwin Park is a good one. Just asking God to watch over and give protection to the gift of life. And if you haven't attended one of those, it's an encouraging time. It's a quiet time of prayer. Get to be with a bunch of other folks. And just remember that concern on a regular basis, if you would. And we were sharing on Wednesday night that, you know, over the years, if you go back 40 years ago or 50 years ago, protection of life from its conception was something, was really upheld as something that would be the Lord's will, and God's people would pray and stand with that, no problem at all. And now it's not so, sadly. So ask God to search your hearts and be in prayer about that conviction and how God would lead you to follow Him. At prayer time, certainly a good way to stop and seek God and His blessing on little ones. Someday you and I will have a chance to, Lord willing, pray some very important prayers as we finish the end of our road here serving Christ. And as we approach the finish line, you know, you might have some last thoughts or sentences that you'll say to loved ones around you, to your best loved one, the Lord. And you might think, boy, what am I going to be praying at that time? What am I going to be thinking? Am I going to be full of fear and uncertainty? Or will there be an assurance and a homegoing and a real reaching out to God and being at peace with God and with one another? Well, Stephen, the church's first martyr, was facing his own death. And we have the privilege of getting in on his prayer life right as his life was ended because of persecution, you know. And boy, to look at those prayers are real instructive to us. He prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That would be something you could pray, not waiting till your last day on earth, but perhaps if you sensed you weren't at peace with God and you didn't know if you were going to go to heaven or not go to heaven when your life was ended, you could pray, Lord, receive my spirit. Lord, I trust you. Help me to be at peace with you. And God would take that sincere prayer in your heart as a turning point in your life, and you could be converted by praying like Stephen prayed, Lord, receive my spirit. A little later on, Stephen prayed this, his last prayer. He said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And he prayed that on behalf of people who were killing him. Boy, quite a dramatic prayer. Lord, don't hold this sin against them. And if we were to see, did the Lord answer that prayer? We know the Lord answered that prayer, at least in the life of one person, Saul of Tarsus, who was standing there giving approval to Stephen's death. And yet, through circumstances in his life, perhaps from that point on, Saul yielded his life to God. So as you pray that prayer in your life for people in your life who have sinned against you and you're dealing with the forgiveness issue in your heart, there's some great things could happen. You pray, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Often, I know you may end up praying the other way. Lord, get them forgetting me. Or Lord, please, I won't attack them back, but you attack them, Lord. Stephen certainly could have prayed that when he was dying, and certainly he would have been on biblical grounds. But instead, God influenced his heart in such a manner as to pray for those who were against him. Lord, don't hold this sin against them. And he was almost echoing the words of Jesus at the cross when Christ prayed, "Lord, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That's a prayer, not a bad prayer to pray on behalf of yourself when you sense you've turned away from God. "Lord, Father, forgive me, I don't know what I'm doing." Or to pray on behalf of others, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That's the spirit of Christ to pray when you're dealing with, you know, whether you can forgive somebody or you're withholding forgiveness at that point. Did you know Jesus, when he taught about prayer, taught that we should always pray about forgiveness? We experience that together every Sunday morning. As we remember, Jesus taught, when you pray, pray like this: "Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And so that's something, certainly on a weekly basis, if not on a daily basis, you and I are dealing with the issue of forgiveness in our own life. Whether we choose to forgive other people, choose to forgive ourselves, or somehow withhold that get our hearts hardened toward the Lord in that way. When we think of our own relationship with God, certainly you would say that we need to experience forgiveness on a daily basis. And not only that, when we sin against God, you know, we don't just sin out in a vacuum somewhere or out in the middle of the woods. But most of the time, when we sin against God, we end up sinning against somebody else. Our sin does affect people around us, and it affects our own walk with God. So the Lord draws attention through Stephen, a great witness for Christ. That's what that word martyr means, witness. That, and even in his last prayer, he gave honor to Christ. He was passing on the gracious love of Christ to other people. You might say Stephen at that point could have sung more of his saving fullness see, more of his grace to others show, as we sang. Boy, that's a great prayer to pray. More of his grace to others show in the area of forgiveness. And if the only cure for forgiveness, or the only cure for sin, rather, is God's forgiveness working in our hearts, first to us and then passed on to other people. Forgiveness is both hard work and a gift that you and I are called to put into practice on a regular basis. You think of what Christ had to do on the cross. It was hard work that he gave his life for the forgiveness of sins, and yet it was a gift that all of us rejoice in forevermore because of what the Lord has done for us. And if the Lord never did anything else for us other than just forgive our sins, we would still be the most blessed, joyful, thankful people in the universe. So the forgiveness of sins, how can you and I be like Stephen and put into practice his prayer? First, a couple things about what forgiveness is not, so we don't slough by the issue in our souls. Forgiveness is not making an excuse for the other person's bad behavior. I remember growing up when I was a teenager, I got hit in the ear with a snowball. It was almost like an ice ball. You know how the snow gets real hard and impacted. So the guy throws a snowball at me, bang, right in the ear, almost knocked me over. I didn't know if I had a concussion or damage to my eardrum. All that I knew, I couldn't hear much other than it's ringing, and it hurt very badly. And he comes running over, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. You know, I didn't mean to do that. But I knew he meant to do that. You know how I know he meant to do that? Because I threw one at him the day before. And where there was no forgiveness, there was just bad action compounded upon bad action. You know, I could have said, let bygones be bygones, and then probably would attack him the following day. But when Stephen was being killed in a much more devastating experience, he didn't say, "Lord, don't hold this mistake against them. Lord, don't hold this misunderstanding against them." No, he said what it was. He said, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." This was a sin. And it was bad. He's being murdered by religious folks. "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." When you forgive somebody, you're saying that person really did wrong. It was It was against God. It was against you. The person is really guilty. They're in need of the forgiveness of Christ and repentance. So to forgive is really somewhat confrontational in your own heart. You're dealing with that which is real sin. Secondly, forgiveness is not just feeling that everything is okay about an offense that has taken place. You might owe the bank $1,000, get dressed up like you would on a Sunday morning and be feeling real good, and you come in to the bank and you say, I'm feeling pretty good today. I don't really feel like I need to deal with this debt that I have. And the banker might be in a great mood, might have just had a great lunch somewhere. Oh, I'm feeling good about you too, Mr. Daniels. Just go home. Don't worry about it. Everything's terrific. Again, that's not dealing with the true debt that is there. Forgiveness is not about feeling, but forgiveness is an act of the will that God would call our hearts to. And we to put that into practice, it's as if there's a real IOU that the person has given us. IOU for what has happened. And we write on the IOU, canceled. We hand it back to the person. Canceled. And we start to think and act and do and even feel a lot differently about the person when we take an act of forgiveness. Forgiveness also is not necessarily reconciliation. Reconciliation means two friends who used to be friends come back together and are friends again. That may or may not happen with forgiveness. Certainly couldn't happen for Stephen and all his fellow believers in the one true God that were taking away his life. If I have a friend and I take him out to ice cream all the time and he punches me in the nose every time I take him out to ice cream, I could forgive him, but I may not take him out to ice cream very often if I'm smart. Why should I stick my nose out there to have it be hit? I can forgive, but I don't necessarily have to become friends again. I can maintain a sense of dignity and respect and treat with politeness from a certain distance. Reconciliation is something God may or may not lead us to. Certainly He would like us to be at peace with everybody as far as possible with us. And forgiveness is also not trying to necessarily change the other person. Well, if I forgive them, they'll be all nice, you know. Then they'll stop sinning. That's not forgiveness. When Stephen forgave, he said, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. You would think everybody would have put their stones down and said, oh, we're so sorry, we'll never do that again. But even Saul of Tarsus, who was starting to struggle with God already, he had a sense when Stephen forgave him, that just made him more mad. He gave approval to his death, and he started to give murderous threats out to the church. A great persecution broke out against the church. So by you doing the right thing, forgiving somebody, actually may turn up the heat on your neck. They may get more ornery and then continue to be murderous. That's irregardless. To be called to the work of Christ, passing on what He has done for us as an act of the one person, an act of the will, with God's help, I forgive. When you and I don't forgive, we do pay a terrible price. It does burden us down. It's like walking around with 50 pounds of something on your back. And it's something is unforgiveness. John Guest, who's a preacher in the Pittsburgh area, tells a story about something that happened to him when he was a young preacher. I've been listening to his sermons a long time. Got to hear him when I was a teenager. But he tells this story about not forgiving somebody in the fellowship he was in. He says, I was working as a youth pastor in a church, and there was one particular teenager who antagonized me all the time. He made my life and ministry miserable. I disliked him so much that I could hardly make myself go to the boys' club that I ran 3 days a week. Ironically, sometimes I've known people and even had that lean myself. If I'm unforgiving toward one person in a whole big group of 100, I'll avoid the whole 100. Well, that's what he was beginning to feel in his life. He said, this boy sneered at me. He used offensive language against me. He took every opportunity to belittle me. I can still remember his name 40 years later. He says, I disliked him so much, the fact that I remember his name and forgot the names of so many other young people who I did know and love is a testimony to what bitterness and malice and unforgiveness can do in a heart. And how true that is. It can really sour the 100 blessings God gives you when you have that one thing that you just won't practice forgiveness towards. It says, when the boy came into view and we played soccer, I was no longer interested in the ball. I was only interested in knocking him up against the wall. And he was also. We drive each other against certain pillars and all this at a Christian club. Finally, he says he goes home. He realizes he can't live like this any longer. This is being cut off from fellowship with God and from others. So he kneels down to pray. Lord, I see this other fella kneeling at your cross. I know you look down on him and you love him. You gave your life for him. You died for him. Help me love him in the same way you do. Help me to see him through your eyes. John Guest said that he told the Lord, I'm not getting up from praying until you help me forgive this person. And I don't know how long he prayed, but he stayed praying. Finally, with God's help, he was able to say, I forgive. And go with a measure of peace and different attitude toward the person. You know, the Lord can help us. It says in Ephesians 4, get rid of all bitterness, malice, and wrath. You know, that's a terrible bunch of sins to have in your heart. Bitterness, malice, wrath, that there's out of control. I find in my life, too, if I forgive a dozen people and don't forgive one, then not only is my relationship with the one affected, my relationship with a dozen is affected. I'm just not as close to them. And my relationship with God is affected. I'm not following him the way I should. All of a sudden, I don't sense his work in my life. See, that the one sin that you may be harboring, the sin of unforgiveness, could really affect everything you do. And the Lord, he's gracious. He knows that we need to run to the mercy seat, bring somebody else with us who we feel has done offense against us or sinned against us in a certain way. How can we practice forgiveness with his help? Really takes a divine intervention. First of all, as Stephen did, he prayed for those who sin, pray for those who sin against you. It might be hard to do. You might be praying for God's revenge in their life. Pray for forgiveness instead. It's been said it's impossible to pray for somebody with an open heart and still harbor unforgiveness towards them. I found that to be true. And sometimes my prayer life is reduced greatly if I'm not dealing with what God wants me to deal with. But if I pray for a person, ask for God's blessing and help with them, on them, then my relationship with God is fresh and new again. Number two, to ask for the Lord's help in forgiveness, because God knows how to forgive much better than we do. He does billions of times every day. So when we say, Lord, please help me to forgive. I don't know how, or perhaps I don't want to. We're really going to the right person for help. He's waiting to intervene for us in areas where we need him. Three, picture the person who sinned against you standing at the cross with you. That's what John Guest did. Hear Jesus praying for you and for the other person. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Hear Jesus pray that for that person in an act of grace and mercy. Hear Jesus pray that for you because you've had an unforgiving heart. And so Jesus is praying for you. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then also in forgiveness, release the person of all expectations of behavior. And that's real hard. We think if I do the right thing, that person will turn into, you know, the Apostle John and we'll live happily ever after. let go of all expectations of behavior toward the other person and deal with what God is asking you to do in forgiving as an act of one with His help. Right, the debt is canceled. And then realize that God is patient and can help you in that. You may have to practice forgiveness until the Lord allows you to see the other person in a new light, remember them in a new way. You see them as a fellow broken sinner as opposed to some terrible person who just did you wrong and nobody's ever been done wrong like you've been done wrong. Those things are painful. God recognizes that. But to surrender your heart to God. And if it takes 70 times 7 practices of prayer to forgive the one offense, or if it takes 70 times 7 with all those offenses, the principle is still the same. With the help of God, you forgive again. And it sets your heart free. And you're walking with Jesus as you do that. Because He certainly does that. We either forgive or we walk around burdened down. Instead of being thankful for God's grace, we often brood over offenses. That's, again, that 50-pound sack of sand on our back. And God would like to take it away. It would be great. And maybe God will do this. You'll be like Stephen if you say, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. That might work in somebody else's life. They may turn to Christ just because they see your heart of mercy toward another person. Or when you do forgive with God's help, remember this. There is at least one person turning to Christ. And that person is you. That person is you. You'll be the one turning to Christ. And might we be close to the Lord and just be at peace with those who might have sinned against you in some manner. The Lord knows, and the Lord would help in every way this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we rejoice in Stephen's testimony from the beginning of his life right until the end. You were getting a lot of glory about what he was up to. He said, receive my spirit, and we ask you receive our hearts as we approach your table. He said, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Whether we pray that for others or maybe pray for ourselves, Lord, don't let me hold this sin against myself. You'd be righteous and just to cleanse us from the things that trip us up. We pray just for your peace to descend upon every heart. And we could repeat these Stephen-type prayers from the heart to be at peace with you. Be with folks hurting physically, Lord, or emotionally. We remember Justin Doner coming through a car accident, for Nancy Cumming and Fred Azevedo. Your grace and help would be with them. For Terry and Louise Steck, Bob and Connie Niedermeyer, Bill and Janice Swope, as they said goodbye to family members. Thank you. You're there for them, and you're the resurrection and the life for each of us in those times of grief. Lord, give us opportunities to share good news with people. Be with those who serve in the military, Lord, and keep them close to you. We pray for Daryl and Cheryl Fennessy serving in Iraq. They would pass your gospel on to many. We'd like all of us to pray for Joanne Irwin at this time, just as you look up a minute. Joanne's really hurting, and cancer is really taking its toll on her body, and she really needs God's intervention, or things just are not going to be well at all. So pray for Joanne. Pray for God to touch her and be a healer for her. Can we all do that just silently as we pray?